as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.
What do we mean when we talk about personality? What is your personality? It is the way you get along with other people around you and with your changing environment. You want certain things from other people. The way to go about getting those things reveals your personality. Your personality is the way you affect other people. Think about that. The way you affect other people.
David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO, Portland, and I wish you had a lot more company.
Welcome to Labor Radio on KBOO Portland. I am Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gilland.
Thank you so much for joining us. Just quickly before we jump into our show, we would like to give a special thanks and shout out to the Labor Radio Podcast Network for hosting podcasted versions of our show each month. Be sure to check them out at laborradionetwork.org. And now we're going to be discussing a story that has been all across headlines in the country for the last couple weeks. I'm sure you've probably seen it at this point, but in a move that, has captured the attention of national media, Starbucks has announced that it is closing 16 of its stores, its American stores, by the end of July. This includes some stores that have recently unionized and another that is awaiting a union election results. And although these closures were reported by the company to be in response to safety, quote unquote safety concerns, workers believe these closures are in fact actually an extreme attempt at union busting. Obviously, the media is gonna cover the story as it's being told to them and the story itself is coming from the company. But it is interesting to note that, if you look at, I just did a quick survey searching for this story on Google, and, most of the headlines are kind of verbatim the exact same thing, which kind of hints at there being a concerted PR campaign from the company to avoid the idea that they're doing this as retaliation for union busting, but instead, for specifically safety concerns. CNBC wrote the headline, "These are the 16 U.S. stores that Starbucks is set to close because of safety concerns." Wall Street Journal wrote, "The 16 Starbucks stores closing for safety concerns." And CNN wrote, "Starbucks to close 16 stores citing personal safety concerns." Obviously safety concerns are the big thing that they are highlighting, but to have the wording be exactly the same across the board looks similar to when, you get an article from the police department that is basically just following them verbatim there. So it does seem like it's kind of a PR push by the company to redirect the public's attention away from had their big fight with the union and towards, you know, them being benevolent and trying to save their workers from safety issues, quote unquote. These closings, you know, they just mark, as we were talking about, they mark the latest in a string of shutdowns and shakeups that have rocked the coffee chain and its workforce since founder and noted anti-union zealot Howard Schultz returned to the company as the interim CEO in April. And this round of shutdowns will impact workers in Los Angeles, as well as here in Portland, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and in Seattle, Washington. Of the 16 stores that are set for closure, two locations in Seattle have in fact successfully unionized, and one store here in Portland is set for a union vote that is coming up next month in August. And of course, you know, with unionization fever spreading like wildfire throughout the company, you know, throughout the workforce of the company around the country, it's likely that, you know, there were already hints of labor unrest bubbling up in other stores and some of the other stores that are being shut down in locations around the country. And so, you know, it is not guaranteed, but it's very likely that there has at least been discussion openly among the workforce in a lot of those stores that they may want to follow suit with what some of their, you know, brethren in other states are doing and unionize.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that, you know, like we covered in a previous episode of the show, Schultz has kind of come back to the company specifically for this purpose, to kind of deal with what's going on at Starbucks, and has basically been making that his top priority since his return.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he has made no bones about the fact that he is anti-union, and he has been for his entire time as the, you know, owner, founder, CEO of Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think, you know, earlier in his career, he was really not viewed that way. Especially, you know, I think Starbucks was seen as, you know, giving health insurance pretty early to workers. And I think we mentioned on the last episode as well, you know, he was tapped to be labor,
right?
You know, for Hillary Clinton as well. You know, so he definitely has a history. Well, I guess he might be rewriting history a little bit in terms of kind of his whole career. But I mean, there is no confusion on what he's doing and what his intended purpose is.
Yeah, and you know, that has been borne out very clearly by the actions he and the company have taken since he retook the top office. They have gone on a basically a scorched earth anti-union campaign, unlike anything we've seen outside of maybe what Amazon has taken on, you know, at least in the last few years. So yeah, it's not a surprise that this is happening. It is surprising that they are kind of getting away with it in the media and that they are trying to do it so nakedly. In response to the announcement that they're closing all these stores, the Starbucks Workers United, which is the union that is, you know, representing all the different Starbucks workers around the country that are organizing, the union has filed an unfair labor charge with the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, claiming that the company's rash of store closures are a form of retaliation and are, in fact, illegal coercion against the ongoing successful unionization efforts. The charge seeks injunctive relief for the workers at the closing stores, which would, you know, fast-track a court order while the case is being litigated by the NLRB, which is a process that normally could take months. And so, you know, they want to provide relief for these workers because they are going to be out of a job in a matter of weeks. And, you know, the case working its way through the normal channels could take way more months than that. And workers, you know, these workers cannot just go without pay for that long or without a job or living this limbo period. The filing itself that the union put forward with the NLRB reads, quote, "Within the past 6 months, the employer closed and or threatened to close at least 16 stores in order to discourage union activity, retaliate against workers engaged in union activity, and or escape its obligation to bargain with the union." And, you know, this isn't actually the first time that the Starbucks Workers United Union has charged the company, has shut down stores as a way of suppressing organizing efforts. In May of this year, the NLRB issued a wide-reaching complaint on behalf of unionized stores in Buffalo, New York, that alleged upper management closed two stores shortly after the union drive began there. And it alleged that that was among a list of over 200 labor violations. and workers in a store in Ithaca, New York, filed a similar charge after the location was closed at the beginning of last month, at the beginning of June, which was just 2 months after the workers at that store had voted to unionize. So very clear trends in the same direction that workers vote to unionize, and then that store is targeted for shutdown for, you know, other reasons, technically. And in fact, you know, after the shutter of the store in Ithaca, New York, the company promised to negotiate with workers about their future. But a month later, you know, it's a month later now, and workers are still waiting for the anti-union lawyer that works on behalf of Starbucks to return from a two-week vacation to continue what has thus far been sporadic negotiations. You know, and as we mentioned a moment ago, in the meantime, those workers continue to go unpaid and have been struggling to keep up with bills. You know, that means they don't have health insurance, they don't have, you know, paychecks coming in, they have uncertainty about what their future holds and if they will have a job at the end of this process. Yeah, in fact, Evan Sunshine, who is an organizing leader at the shuttered Ithaca store, said in a recent interview that the fact that Starbucks allegedly only, Starbucks's allegedly only available lawyer can call a two-week hiatus to go on vacation while workers are left essentially jobless is disrespectful. And this break, along with their repeated tardiness to our bargaining sessions, tells us that they view our time as less valuable than their own, which is, you know, a given considering that, you know, we're talking about the CEO and upper management of a major international corporation, but still the disrespect with which they are treating the workforce of that company is pretty astonishing. You know, and so along with that, in letters that Starbucks executives recently sent to employees, management wrote that the charges, including, you know, store closures, are part of a campaign to, quote, modernize in order to reflect the, you know, quote, state of the world, the conditions of our stores and our communities, and the hopes and dreams and lives of each of our partners, end quote. Now, partners, if you know, you aren't, if you haven't worked at Starbucks before, that's what they refer to their employees as, because it's a nicer way than saying, you know, worker or employee. They call them partners. It's very, you know, whitewashed. But, you know, it's interesting, the beginning of that quote, they say, you know, this is, this modernization effort is to reflect the state of the world. And although, you know, that could, that's a very broad statement and doesn't have a lot of definition to it, it does seem like the actions they're taking, which is largely shutting down stores based on safety concerns, would mean that they see the state of the world as a very dangerous and an unsafe place, and therefore they need to shut their stores down as a result. So that's just an interesting commentary on the part of Starbucks, the corporation. And so, yeah, on top of that, the letters also lay out that part of the modernization campaign includes addressing incidents that involve mental health crisis, drug use, and racism that their workers encounter while on the job. And they also explain that remedies for such incidents can include modifying hours, closing a restroom at a location, or even closing that store permanently. And this is, you know, a rather top-down safety approach from the company. And this campaign to, you know, modernize and to increase safety at the workplace comes right on the heels of the union's effort to fight for increased safety measures, both through strikes and at the bargaining table. Recently in Seattle, Starbucks workers at 7 stores went on strike, partially in protest over poor workplace safety conditions. And immediately following that strike action, the Starbucks Corporation announced that it was closing 8 stores in the Pacific Northwest, including some of the stores at which those workers had previously worked. And the legal counsel for the Starbucks Workers United Union said in an interview that, quote, if Starbucks truly cared about its partners' safety, it would bargain about ways to ensure their protection, not displace workers by closing stores. And, you know, just to be clear, workers themselves have made claims that, you know, having their locations having public restrooms, welcoming lobbies, and free water available at the stores sometimes do bring in houseless people or those experiencing mental health crisis, which can, of course, lead to altercations. So the workers have been clear that, like, they do recognize that there are safety issues within their workplaces, and that is, you know, something that they have, those are demands they've made. And, you know, so why, you know, that's part of the reason that we're improving workplace safety has been a big, you know, major plank and major demand pushed forward by the union in the effort to unionize workplaces, Starbucks workplaces around the country. So it is a thing that the workers recognize as a problem, and that's one of the big things pushing them to unionize. But what they're asking for is increased safety measures put in place, not shuttering these stores and losing their jobs. And in fact, you know, in some of the bargaining they push forward, the union has actually asked for, you know, the presence of security guards at some of these, at the more dangerous stores, as a way to kind of mitigate the safety issues. However, it now seems clear that the company itself has used the focus on safety concerns as a means to disrupt worker organizing by justifying the closure of certain stores.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this stuff, it's very easy to obfuscate kind of the reasons behind decisions that get made, like, at the high corporate executive level. But, you know, we've touched on it on almost every episode of the show. You know, it doesn't matter how many labor laws we have if they're not being enforced properly, right? And, right. You know, throughout the Trump administration, we went through, you know, an NLRB that was probably not taking things as seriously as we would have liked. And, you know, obviously Biden coming in is kind of putting these new people in positions to make decisions. And so, you know, we're definitely looking for kind of the NLRB to respond in kind to things that are kind of very clearly anti-union and also just not legal.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely, you know, it is wonderful that we do have a Democratic presidency right now, and Biden has done a good job of replacing some of those Trump appointees on the NLRB.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, yeah, there's so much more action that needs to be taken on their part.
But again, you know, we mentioned things like the PRO Act and some other things that we want to push forward. But also, if the stuff that's not already in place isn't being enforced, right, then, you know, we have a lot of people out there in the labor force who are not being kind of treated properly with rights they already have.
Yeah.
And exactly. So, you know, in the case of this, you know, clearly we're looking at 16 stores that all have done, you know, some level of unionizing, and then they result in closures. You know, I think it's pretty easy to yeah. You know.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the direct correlation between mm-hmm. those two. Just quickly before we continue this conversation, I want to reintroduce you to the show. If you're just tuning in, this is Labor Radio, and we are discussing the Starbucks workers' claim that the corporation shutting down 16 stores around the country is actually retaliation for the ongoing unionization effort that has taken hold across the country. And so, yeah, as we were just discussing, you know, the company itself is using this focus to just this focus on safety concerns raised by, you know, the workforce themselves to justify closing certain stores, but, you know, in response to
certain stores with a history of unionizing efforts. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, not so much specifically unsafe stores, but stores with a history of unionization, you know, or at least discussions of it, if not outright unionization or vote, at least, you know, organizing and voting on it. And so in response to complaints about safety, the company rolled out a pilot program to provide security guards inside stores. But as one worker explained, quote, Starbucks told us that in order to keep security guards, we should be logging as many incidents as we can justify, as we can to justify it. So often small things get logged, such as someone taking too long in the bathroom, or someone being asked to leave for swearing. So if you compare that to when, this is a quote, so compare that to when I worked at First and Pike, when I would only log 2 or 4 incidents a day that were larger, such as theft or drug use in the store. You know, so after requiring this uptick in reporting in order to justify keeping the security guards there, in order to justify keeping safety within the workplace, the company then immediately turned around and used the increases in incidents that they demanded be reported to justify closing stores over, you know, quote, security concerns. So it's a pretty common tactic, but it, you know, it makes a lot of sense when you think about, like, oh, what's a great way for us to be able to shut down stores? Well, let's make them report more incidents of safety issues so that we can say, well, it's rampant, there's safety concerns, so we have to shut that store down, even though, you know, it does seem like largely like a rounding error, because these workers were forced to report smaller things that would never have led to, you know, a formal report previously.
Yeah, and the paper trail looks really nice.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a pretty classic tactic on the part of Amazon, and it, you know, it obviously seemed to work because they're now getting unbiased media, you know, or very biased media coverage about how their stores are so unsafe. And that, of course, dovetails very nicely with the larger media narrative of like, well, all these Democratic cities, you know, there's just homeless violence running rampant and things like that, which, you know, tends when you dig down not to be actually what's happening. But this dovetails very nicely with the media narrative. So obviously Starbucks recognized the moment and had a very good PR campaign that, you know, disguised their actual just union busting tactics. And so, yeah, workers, you know, in Seattle at the unionized store on East Olive Way, which is one of, you know, the locations that was included in the security guard pilot program, were surprised to hear that their store was slated for closure because they thought it was actually one of the quieter ones in the city and not facing as many security concerns as some of the other ones in around town. And so when workers there asked their upper management why the store was being singled out, they said managers responded by claiming that the decision took into consideration the number and severity of incidents, but refused to cite any specific incidents that they were actually looking at. And you know, similarly, workers at the unionized store in Union Station in Seattle, which is also slated for closure at the end of the month, they make similar claims that their location is far less dangerous than other ones around town. And you know, those ones are still open and theirs is getting, you know, slated for closure. And just like the folks at the East Olive Way store, these ones at the Union Station store say that they also believe that, you know, incident numbers cited by the company as justification for the closure were artificially inflated. Mm-hmm. As, you know, we just described, it's a pretty clear, you know, cut and dry example of that being the case. And so, you know, along with singling out union-friendly locations for closure, Starbucks has also made clear that, you know, for those unionized stores, the decisions about workers' hours, about pay rates, and whether they will be transferred to other locations is subject to bargaining and not guaranteed, meaning that these workers that are, you know, having their jobs taken away from them at the locations that they've worked are now, because they supported the union, are not just guaranteed jobs elsewhere as the ones who are at non-unionized stores are, you know, would be if their store was being shut down. But instead, these, because they dared to talk to the union, they now have to bargain for a job elsewhere. And, you know, while workers can request to be transferred to a particular store, their next workplace and, you know, the reality of their continued employment at Starbucks will ultimately be decided by management.
And I think it's really important to call out that that's just not legal to do.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's very important to clarify that that is you know, under current U.S. law, that is not allowed.
Yeah.
Retaliation is illegal.
Yeah, it's direct retaliation, which is crazy. But, you know, these corporations recognize that for the longest time they've been able to get away with any number of these types of violations without any real enforcement. And so why would they not continue to take on these tactics when they haven't seen any downside to it previously? You know?
Yeah, well, and you know, sometimes we have brought up on this show in the past previously, yeah. I believe there was an Amazon kind of union leader who was fired and then kind of brought back. So, you know, it can get resolved. But, you know, again, a lot of people in these positions can't wait a couple months for the NLRB to make a ruling.
Yeah.
You know, similarly to how, you know, so a lot of these workers are waiting to see if they get to stay on at a different location or things like this. Again, at the end, it's, you know, even if the company gets a slap on the wrist for doing this, really, it's as a tactic, it's pretty effective because, you know, people still have bills to pay and all these sorts of things.
Like, it's working, you know. I mean, these folks are maybe, instead of waiting around, are just going to go find other jobs elsewhere and you know, drop the unionization effort.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not worth the effort, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know, I'm not going to kind of make the effort or kind of get together with other staff members or other partners because, you know, I've seen what happens at, you know, Northwest locations.
Yeah, like, you have to be very committed to the cause because what is being shown as the retaliation is, can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
And why would someone take that on when they could just as easily keep their head down and, you know, get their paycheck and not have to worry about it? Makes sense, but it's also, you know, this is the intent purpose of the company. That's what they're trying to do. And, you know, on top of that, so these workers who are seeing, you know, that from unionized stores that are being shut down, they are, because they'll be moved to stores, if they do keep their jobs, they'll be moved to stores that are not unionized. they then will effectively no longer be recognized as members of the union by the company because they are not working in a unionized environment. And so all the work they put into unionizing their store and winning the election and organizing their coworkers and fighting for that is just washed down the drain because they are no longer recognized as union members and they're going into a non-union shop after that. And you know, so this approach obviously helps the company disperse their pro-union workers, which thus dilutes their influence. You know, they are spread to the wind and sent to different stores around town, and you know, some of them just lose their jobs outright. And so that dilutes the efficacy of like a concentrated group of pro-union workers in any specific workplace. And so that seems to be kind of a major factor behind the push for these mass shutdowns that the company is doing. And, you know, as the Starbucks Workers United Union put it in a recent statement that they released, quote, "Every decision Starbucks makes must be viewed through the lens of the company's unprecedented and virulent union-busting campaign." And so, you know, you read the articles that the media has been putting out about these store closures, and it mentions, you know, all the different safety issues. It mentions, you know, issues with mental illness and houseless populations and you know, any number of other, like, you know, violence-related issues at these stores. But it doesn't mention the fact that these workers themselves have actually been subject to a lot of, you know, maybe not out-and-out violence, but definitely, you know, they have been victims of the company's very, very intense anti-union, you know, union-busting tactics. So they themselves are victims of a certain kind of violence. But that isn't discussed in the safety concerns element of these media stories. And yeah, again, you know, this shuttering of stores in response to labor's demands for increased safety fits a clear pattern of new initiatives that Starbucks has rolled out in the wake of the ongoing organizing wave. This includes offering benefits to the company has offered benefits, but they say, you know, to workers, but they say that they cannot guarantee those benefits for any of the workers that have chosen to unionize, mm-hmm. Which of course is against the NLRB, the NLRA. And in May, you know, shortly after Howard Schultz retook the CEO job, the company announced wage increases for workers, but said that it was prevented from assuring raises in stores that were in the process of unionizing or that had successfully done so.
Which is just is so far from being legal. And again, we can't reiterate that enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was immediately panned as like by like labor law experts, like, this is very, very clearly illegal. But, you know, again, when there has been a history of lackluster enforcement of these rules, why would they not? You know, why would they think they would not get away with it this time when they've gotten away with it every time before that? And last month, in the wake of the horrific Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, Starbucks was widely lauded as one of a group of major corporations that pledged to help their employees in non-abortion available states, to help them access the abortion care they needed, you know, by paying for their flights to other states or, you know, whatever that meant. The corporations got glowing press from, you know, the media and from Democratic politicians for their commitment to helping these workers access the right that has been taken away from them. But, you know, of course, they then very, you know, so that was a very loud applause that they received for that. But, you know, the company was much quieter about hedging on offering abortion access benefits, including out-of-state travel expenses to workers in unionized stores, you know, citing contract negotiations. So they immediately came out and made a big fuss about saying they're going to help their workers access abortion care, but then quietly also were like, well, but not you. Yeah, not you unionized workers. And that's sort of thing they've done frequently, and it's a pretty scary reality that might set a precedent for, which is that workers in states that have, you know, triggered bans and have just banned abortion in general will be so subservient to their employer to receive the help for that care that they will be forced to reject any unionization effort. And so, you know, Starbucks is pretty gross for all this, but luckily, you know, just closing out here, it is amazing that Starbucks actually is currently a defendant in a lawsuit brought to federal court by the National Labor Relations Board, which charges the company with over 200 separate violations of federal labor law that are clearly laid out in the National Labor Relations Act. And the lawsuit, which is one of the largest complaints the board has ever filed against the company, is rightly being perceived as massive and unprecedented. But as Elliot has mentioned, like, it's also can be just simply described as the federal government enforcing existing labor law and just basically doing their job. And, you know, it feels unprecedented because we have never seen anything at this level from the federal government in our lifetimes.
Yeah. And I just to close out here, I think it's really important, you know, the executive branch of the government does a lot more than just the person at the top. And there's a lot of positions within the government that are not, you don't run for and you don't vote for. And I think, you know, it's, again, I think it's important to remember that, you know, not all huge changes kind of are super visible, right? But the people on this, on the NLRB are really important to everything that we talk about on the show. And it's important to remember kind of all the different aspects of the executive branch.
Yeah, and to their credit, the NLRB has really taken, under the Biden administration, has grown teeth and they have actually taken action. They're obviously way understaffed and, you know, under-supported, but it is amazing that they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for tuning into Labor Radio. We'll be back next month. I am Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gilliland.
Have a great night.